Blog Talk Radio. Well, well, my brothers and sisters, we are back. Yes, indeed, we're back again, my brothers and sisters, for another episode, another very precious episode of Hidden Gospel, Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I am your host tonight, Eddie Mia of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. So very thankful, yes, indeed, so very thankful to the Most High. The opportunity, yes, for the opportunity to be back with you here again, speak these very precious words. Yes, these very, very precious words that the Most High has granted me for the blessing of His people. The Most High has told me, yes, he has told me, that I have for Him some very important things for Him to do. And He told me because of what I must do, He said to me that I would surely accrue some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But He told me that in doing for Him that which He has asked of me, I would have His protection and His guidance. For that, my brothers and sisters, I am utmost thankful. Most High has told me, yes, indeed, He has told me that I must tell you things. Yes, indeed, that I must tell you things that men have done everything they could. Yes, indeed, everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence, and yes, if they could, to destroy. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, so much scripture relates again and again that the truth of Messiah, the truth of the gospel, has not been a word that the nations have yet aspired to. Has not been a word, my brothers and sisters, that the nations have yet loved. Think about it. Isaiah 49th chapter, Messiah coming forth saying, listen to me, O isles, hearken to me, O you nations. The Most High has called me from the womb, from the body of my mother, as He made mention of my name. He said, in the shadow of His hand as He concealed me. He made His mouth like a sharp two-edged sword. Made Him a chosen bowman. The scriptures relate again and again, my brothers and sisters, the one the Most High calls to reveal His glory, to bring Israel back to Him, to be His salvation to the ends of the earth. Well, my brothers and sisters, we need to ask, from whom is man to seek that salvation? Scripture said the kings of the earth, my brothers and sisters, have despised them. This is the report concerning Messiah and the day of His appearing. So the question should be asked, since this is the Savior of the world and the King, why did Messiah say Himself in Matthew 24:9? He said, you'll be hated by all nations for the sake of His name, for the sake of His title, because of His authority, my brothers and sisters. And we need to ask ourselves, what is the authority which Messiah, at the hand and the behest of the Most High, is given? I would have you, my brothers and sisters, to consider some very powerful concepts tonight. Yes, indeed, some very powerful concepts tonight. That the scriptures relate these things again and again, but have all who say they believe consider these things? Messiah said, Scripture says, that, for instance, that Psalm 2, the Most High would say concerning him who, because the kings have taken counsel against the Most High and anointed, and His anointed, the nations imagine vain things. It says in Psalm 2. This is the one the scriptures speak of, saying that the Most High would say to him one day, you are my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give you the heathen for your inheritance. You shall shepherd them with a rod of iron. Talk about the nations, shepherd them with the rod of iron, but those who resist it shall break like the breaking of a potter's vessel. Said concerning him, be wise, O ye king, be instructed, O judges of the earth. Kiss the son, lest he be angry. Whose son? Kiss the son, lest he be angry, and you perish from his way, while his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are they who put their trust in him. Here, my brothers and sisters, I would have you to consider. Another scripture, Revelation. Really need to read all from Revelation 2 and 6 to 3 and 6. One who comes, speaking a perfect word like a sharp two-edged sword, that will discern who is that seeks the perfect will of Yah, who prefers righteousness and who does not. Scripture says, again, he who keeps his words, guards his commandments, his conscience, the truth of his testimony. He said, they too will shepherd the nations with a rod of iron, breaking those who are resistant, like the breaking of a potter's vessel. Is broken, one scripture says, without pity. Why? I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, whoever would preserve a lie is a distraction against men discerning the truth. And the scripture says, this authority Messiah has given of his Father. That's in the book of Revelation. What does it say there, my brothers and sisters, about what will be the authority of Messiah in his appearing? How many have considered Isaiah 41? When it speaks of they who wait for him shall renew their strength. He is the one who regathers Israel, re-strengthens Israel. He is the strength by which Israel shall be made again a strong people. Same kind of concept we see in Numbers 24. The scripture talks about one who will rout those who have been obstacles against Israel's awareness. Jeremiah 48 calls him the destroyer of Moab in many ways. Scripture says he will destroy those who seek to survive or preserve the ways. How about the corrupt social coalescence? After the mind of the heathen. And we'll seek to preserve the ways of the city. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. It sounds again and again like the Most High intends to establish through his Messiah a holy kingdom, a holy dominion. And my brothers and sisters, though the Most High desires such blessedness in the earth, it is the deceitfulness that is in the hearts of men that to this day have been an obstacle. Think about it. In the book of Acts, the scriptures speak about those who would be witnesses unto the testimony of Messiah, not only in Judea, but Samaria and the uttermost ends of the earth. How many understand that the word there for witnesses is martyria? In other words, my brothers and sisters, it was already known that those who go forth and uphold the testimony of Messiah would be murdered. I said, my brothers and sisters, we'd be murdered by those who despised the truth. And it's quite evident when we look around us today, though the gospel that is to consecrate all the world unto the will of one has gone forth in the greatness of its glorious light. What does the scripture say in the book of Yohanan, John? It says, men have loved darkness more than light. It is evident. And that we still see the multitude of divisions that exist in the world, and ever-increasing numbers of schisms in the world, divisions, curses in the world, false gospels, because there's only one in the world. It is evident that men have resisted that pure, perfect word. The book of Jude talks about men perverting the grace of Yah. How about the true knowledge of the Savior, the true knowledge of his salvation? Said men were perverted after their own Some texts say lasciviousness, licentiousness. How about lawlessness? There are men perverting it after their own design. The scripture calls it unbelief. It's not faith in him who is as he is, who cannot deny himself. Scripture says we need to be wise about this. Messiah, Yah, the very meaning of his name means that all that he is a constant. He cannot deny himself. Therefore, the scriptures say, we ought to study to show ourselves approved. Because guess what? Approved by the standard that gives honor to his name. Study to show ourselves approved. As a workman that need not be ashamed, fully furnished unto all good works. How about unto the perfect will of Yah, my brothers and sisters? You really think that the nation of the Gentiles have truly desired and seeking to preserve all their own various rulerships? Have denied that, have desired that perfect peace? Why is it, my brothers and sisters, that men have called, well, think about it this way. The word Christ is definitely a Greek word, having very definite polytheist connotations. Under the preservation of a multitude of corruptly deviant, inconjunct ideas. In other words, just like the Greek word for love is a word that preserves a multitude of diverse, contentious ideals. After all the various differing opinions and, let's just say, false gods of Greece and Rome. Because they called a love, my brothers and sisters, a love for whatever it is they felt have been given license or upheld the fabric of Greco-Roman society. It's a word, my brothers and sisters, that preserves polytheism rather than even the concept that Yah is one. What's the scripture say in the Shema? Yah is one. We must love him with all our minds, our soul, and might. We must love that he is one then. And I don't mean constrained or in any way should we desire to see his nature mocked, misrepresented, after double-minded waverings. Because the scripture says anyone who does this after the ways of the nations in the book of Jacob, they call it James. See, let him not think he received anything from the Most High. But agape, my brothers and sisters, that is a gape for every manner of illusion, and understand something, my brothers and sisters, let's carry it to another level. Agape love was also called the kind of love they endorsed in the heathen feasts, festivals, carnivals. Carnal balls. Of the Greeks and the Romans. And it was a matter of men being open to all manner of fleshly licentiousness, giving license to anything men chose to do. Because they even went as far as to say in the feasts of their heathen gods, such as their Dionysus and Mars, consort to the goddess of lust, Venus, if you will. They said, my brothers and sisters, cursed is anyone who would find fault with the carnal licentiousness, if you will, of the things they do in their heathen days. Scripture said they pervert the grace of Yah after their own licentiousness. The Most High calls it unbelief in the book of the book of Yehuda, they call it James. So much so that Messiah will have to come, the scripture says, and have to convince men against all the ungodly words. How about all the misrepresentation of himself that they have spoken? Scripture calls it unbelief. It does not call it salvation. It does not call it the common salvation. It does not call it the peace. Hear me, my brothers and sisters. Most High said he would not deny himself. We must consider then these things. What about Revelation? What about the book of Revelation, my brothers and sisters, that talks about the system that murdered the saints? We understand that Rome murdered millions in the first centuries. Scripture didn't say that after that murderous time would be true testimony. It said after that would be a rise of false prophets, false testimonies. How about a multitude of diverse doctrines, my brothers and sisters, by no means that are agreed to the will of one? Divisions, curses, false gospels. Even, my brothers and sisters, let's look at Revelation 13, speaking about a false church, but more than just a false church. Revelation 13, 11, I beheld another beast. The word for beast, the word for Gentile, means those who will not reason as one with Yah, will not function as Manu, will not function as man, will not function in communion with the Most High. So I beheld another beast, another false nation, another construct, my brothers and sisters, held together by a faulty, if you will. How about a pluralist point of reference? Irreverent against the righteousness of Yah. The scripture says that reverence for Yah is the beginning of wisdom. If man has no reference point beyond the cages and snares of a worldly status quo, how can man even begin to awaken? Why did Messiah give his life? You need to think about it, my brothers and sisters. It was that men might awaken, that they might finally see the light. That is what he did. That's what so many saints also who followed him also did. But Revelation 6 talks about the white horse rider, which is Messiah himself. Don't let anybody trick you or fool you. Read Revelation 19. They also know, my brothers and sisters, many records in terms of what the early church believed, who the early church believed the white horse rider to be. And it's a great clue, and that scripture says the white horse rider has a bow, a crown, or many crowns and bow and a sword. Oh, please, my brothers and sisters, examine the scriptures concerning Messiah. At Isaiah 41, scripture says he gave the nations as dust to his sword and driven stubble to his bow. Scripture says also, my brothers and sisters, he trods down the kings as the potter treads clay. Here, my brothers and sisters, the scriptures speak of him in Isaiah 49, saying he gave him out like a sharp two-edged sword. The shadow of his hand is he hid me, concealed me, even strengthened. And the scriptures go on as far as to say, ultimately, my brothers and sisters, he's made me a chosen arrow. A chosen work of arrow is bowman. How many will understand, my brothers and sisters, this is definitely a concept of who is the Savior. Red horse rider. Scripture says, come take away the peace. How about the word on high, from on high, there would be peace to the earth. Red horse rider is the nations retaliating against the truth. Messiah, in essence, said, I repeat, my brother and sister, Messiah in essence said, you'd be hated by all nations for the sake of my gospel. The sovereign reign and rule from on high. Have the nations loved that one rule? Think about it. You have people calling themselves believers under the constraints of a multitude of different nations and different denominations, all competitive one against another, and men have argued with regard to their differences. And men have dared to say that they have not argued against the Most High. They've all agreed with him? Really? There's a reason why the scripture says you shall have no other God but he. No other standard but his. Any other standard which would divide his people. Well, the scripture says you should not take his name in vain. You should not associate his name with any of the countermanding ideals of others. You say we're not called the man blameless who does it. Brothers and sisters, with all these differences, I can only tell you, the Most High looks upon them as obstacles against men discerning who he is, considering them a mockery against who he is, consounds them a misrepresentation. Wherever men have been partial and have not sought the fullness of what the Most High intends, have not sought the fullness of what is his plan. What does it say in Revelation 13, 11? I beheld another beast coming by the earth having two horns like a lamb. Sing to those who know not the truth. Seeming to be, my brothers and sisters, the Lamb of Yah, even Messiah. But the scripture says this one does not carry the testimony of Yah. You see, he speaks as a dragon. And he exercised all the power of the first murderous beast. I want you to understand when I say murderous, because you need to go back and look at the earlier verses around 13:10 and before. He said he exiled the power of them, my brother, this is the first murderous, unreasoning, unwilling to reason beast. What the Messiah said, the spirit of truth, the worldly, those who refuse to reason, said they would not receive. Causing all who dwell on earth to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound, how about by a sword, the sword of truth, was whose deadly wound was healed. Many of my brothers and sisters, we need to understand that the prophecies speak of more than one appearing of the Messiah. Scripture said he would even come back a second time to regather his people as he had done before. Messiah 2,000 years ago did not do that, but the prophecies say the same spirit. I've talked about this many times on the show. Scripture said, Messiah said, I'm the root and offspring of David and the bright morning star. Who is it that bore those titles? You need to read Isaiah 11 and understand the scriptures call this a latter-day prophecy. Remember I told you the scripture says he would come. He said, he has authority in his appearing, reappearing, to shepherd all the nations and to break in pieces like a potter's vessel, whoever it is that refuses to accept the truth. Latter-day prophecy, brothers and sisters. Who did he say, according to Isaiah 48:49, would do this? You need to understand, my brothers and sisters, whether it is that you have received the true Savior, that you've hearkened to the words of the true Savior, or the miscreation, my brothers and sisters, the faker that Rome has contrived for the preservation of all its multitude of diversely contentious obstacles against your discerning the knowledge of the truth. Messiah said in Revelation 22:16, I Yeshua, and really put down an angel, but the word for angel is message. I Yeshua have sent my message that must be testified among you. How about in remembrance of all things that he has spoken in the churches? He is the written offspring of David, the bright morning star. Who had that title? You need to understand. If you don't, my brothers and sisters, you need to look at my website, hiddengospel.com, early church origin, mutual expectation is an article you need. www.hiddengospel.com, the article called Secret City Prophecies is information that you need. Article, my brother and sister, that relates what is the first five seals and even beyond the book of Revelation. It's an article there called Tribulation, 70-365 A.D. An article there called Remember the Promise. I promise you need it all. Who is the one, my brothers and sisters, the scriptures are speaking of when at Matthew, they called it, 26:64, Messiah said, you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, coming in the clouds of heaven. You need to understand where those scriptures and that implication came from. I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters, it came from Isaiah 19. And I can only tell you then the original text before Westerners got a hold to it. In the Eastern text, my brothers and sisters, the one that it speaks of, you need to understand. It says in Isaiah 19, behold, the Most High, or let's just say Messiah, comes with swift clouds. The words for clouds and the concept of clouds anciently, my brothers and sisters, had to do with a message, a powerful message even. A message from on high, a swift message. Scripture says, so shall they revere the name of the Most High from the rising of the sun to the west, and latter days from the west to the rising of the sun. The sudden message, my brothers and sisters, comes swiftly and suddenly, unexpectedly, one that exposes all the faulty foundations of the nations. You need to look at Revelation 16:12-21, talking about the one called the King of the East, before whom the rivers are the boundaries of the nations, the frailties and power of the nations must be exposed that his people be free, no longer trusting in the rudiments and misconceits of men, the misrepresentations of men, but finally knowing to trust in Yah. The scripture says in Revelation 66, you look particularly at how it proves the churches. for the unclean offerings in the first five verses, and then the sixth verse to the 15th, talking about when Messiah appears out of that city that was foretold. I said out of that city that was foretold. Read Zephaniah 3:1-5. Read on through the 13th verse. The scripture says, when that occurs, yes, indeed, when that occurs, Israel shall awaken to discern beyond all the barriers of the nations. It'll be like Israel is a nation. My brothers and sisters, the scripture says, again, made a strong nation in Isaiah 25:1-3. Read out to the 26th chapter. Who did the scripture say would make Israel a strong nation again? We talk about that too, like I said, Numbers 24. How about Isaiah 41? Listen to me, O Isles, hearken to me, O you nations. The Most High has called me from the womb, from the body of my mother, and made mention of my name, and now Yah has become my strength. Isaiah 49. Isaiah 41. They will wait for the Most High, even Messiah whom he sends, shall renew their strength. Who has stood up this righteous one like the sudden rising of the sun that casts out all the darkness, that reveals the light the world would obscure? Who is it that caused him to subdue even kings, that gave him his dust to his sword and driven stubble to his bow? Yes, my brothers and sisters, the principalities and powers of this world crucified the Messiah. They slaughtered, yes, they martyred so many of those who believed in him. But my brothers and sisters, the promise of Yah is that he shall indeed conquer. Oh, the Most High sends this even Messiah riding with a swift cloud. Hey, a cloud was a symbol, was symbolic to the ancient mind of a word from on high, giving them indications of what is brewing, if you will, in the heavens. Clouds were considered a testimony, my brothers and sisters. Coming into, he says, coming, behold, the Most High, even in this case, he's talking about Messiah coming with a swift testimony into Egypt. Isaiah 19 also says, in that day, Israel, because, or let's say even Egypt, because they had been confused. And this Egypt, my brothers and sisters, is all the people after the blindness of the nations. They shall finally know the Most High, and they shall vow to him and perform it. So you need to look at this scripture in Isaiah 19 with a, let's just say, a much more advantageous eye, aware sense of vision. It says Messiah will come with a swift testimony, as it says in Malachi, one that reproves all unrighteous rule. It says, and Egypt shall be moved. How about shaken? Shaken at its very foundation at his presence. And the heart, how about the social coalescence, the concept that have made Egypt a nation, shall melt in the midst of it. Oh, I've talked before, my brothers and sisters, how the scriptures at 2 Cephas, 2 Peter, third chapter speaks of these same things. It's not talking about the earth being destroyed. It's talking about the conscience that men have trusted. Ah, my brothers and sisters, men finally being set free from all these illusions. And it says, I'll set the Egyptians. How about against the Egyptians? This is revolution. In other words, my brothers and sisters, men should discern the exceeding righteousness of Yah, the glory of Yah. And yes, it will bring a revolution where men among the nations seek revolution beyond the constraints of conscience that they had been entrusted. Because the scripture says when he comes, he is the one whom the scripture says, unto him every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear allegiance. He is the one called Shiloh. Isaiah 45 speaks of him, calls him his anointed. Need to think about it, brothers and sisters. Philippians 2 speaks of him. Under him, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear to the glory of Yah, his Father. Read Isaiah 45 and make the comparison. Scripture says, he gave his life to be Lord. Then under him, every knee shall bow. My brothers and sisters, men understand that they've been subject to foolish rulers who would crucify the Messiah. Men's hearts were pricked to receive the knowledge of the truth they would not before. He said, I came that the blind may see, and those who see might be realized as blind. The leaders asked the question, are we also blind? He said, if you were blind, you would have no sin. If you recognize your blindness, you might have no sin. But because you say you see, he said, your sin remains. Well, my brothers and sisters, there are so many today who will not realize what the scripture said, there must come a time of remembrance in the last days. So they would not recognize the need for remembrance. They would not recognize the fact that so much truth, far beyond the ordinary, must be remembered. I said so much truth far beyond the ordinary must be remembered because there's so much truth that men have forgotten. You said, I have set the Egyptians revolt against the Egyptians. They shall fight one against his brother, everyone against his neighbor, city against city. That's revolution, my brothers and sisters, and kingdom against kingdom. And he said, the spirit of Egypt, how about that which has been the social coalescence, the traditions and ideals that made Egypt a people? Shall fail, burned up in the midst thereof, and I'll destroy the counsel thereof. How about the thoughts and the conceits, my brothers and sisters, that they once thought were wise? In the Aramaic, it says, the Egyptians I give over into the hand of a Mede. The Medes. Hold on, my brothers and sisters. Jeremiah 50 and 51. No, we're going all the way back to the 48th chapter to talk about Moab. Talks about Babylon. Talk about the king, what's called the king of the Medes, will overthrow Babylon once and for all. But this is also the one, my brothers and sisters, the scripture says, Israel should, through whom Israel shall gain strength in Numbers 24. The star of Jacob. You need to understand, my brothers and sisters, Isaiah 41 calls him the one for whom men should be waiting. Malachi calls them the same, that if they prepare themselves, they may not walk naked and men see their shame, it says in Revelation 16:12-21. This is the one for whom the rivers are the boundaries of the nations. The constraints against the awakening of the mind that has been the rulers should be dried up. You need to understand then Revelation 16:12-21. In the context of these scriptures at Isaiah 19, it says, the water shall fill from the sea, and the river shall be wasted and dried up. A fierce, strong king, is what it really means, shall rule over them. That is deliverance, my brothers and sisters, because it means the foundation the men have trusted have not been sufficient for the people to have firmity and cohesiveness after the will of one. I would tell you, my brothers and sisters, that reverence for Yah is the beginning of wisdom. The only way man can begin to revere Yah, my brothers and sisters, he must discern something that is beyond the constraints of status quo inside the box cages. He must discern beyond the devices of men that have been inconsiderate of what is divine beginning purpose, if you will, as purpose from the beginning, eventuality. There's every example, my brothers and sisters, that is constrained after the minds of men. It's all bondage. Men must discern, open their eyes, allow their eyes to be open to see what they have not seen. Messiah will not judge after what his eyes see, nor what his ears hear. After the Spirit shall he judge, he shall expose all lawless standards that have held his people in bondage. Scripture says, unto him shall all the nations seek, and his rest shall be glorious. He comes to set his people free, my brothers and sisters. He said, if you're my disciples, you know the truth, and truth will set you free. How about free from all those who hear the truth, even the gospel of freedom and peace from you? What is that peace? He said, I beseech you, by the mercies, by the grace of Yah, as you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto Yah. It means that the gift or grace from on high, the knowledge of the truth, my brothers and sisters, to set you free to discern the perfect will of Yah beyond all those who would hide that salvation, that healing from you. Nothing perceived out of the constraints of the jailer is freedom. Till men know to seek the truth, it is long gone outside carnal consideration. The men discern the truth, my brothers and sisters, all that's written in the law and the prophets. Short-sighted blind men yet keep mankind waiting as sheep to be devoured because they've had no shepherd and no shelter wherein to escape the wolves. For your shepherds, my brothers and sisters, even those who offer sanctum sitting on in the pulpit have indeed been ravenous canines. Greedy dogs, the scripture said, could never get enough. You need to understand, my brothers and sisters, either we seek the whole righteousness of Yah or the vows and the oaths men made are only curses, divisions, and a multitude of damnations. There is a, they say, a new movie out. Haven't seen it yet. It's questionable whether I will see it. But I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, it had a catchy phrase. Some of you know about the movie. They called it Son of God. They wrote as a caption showing the tumult Israel had with the Romans, showing him crucified. Those of you who know the story, they wrote upon a placard above his stake, he said he is the King of the Jews. And they wrote as a caption for this movie, their empire, his kingdom. How many of us understand, my brothers and sisters, what that connotates in the context of understanding really what was going on in the days of Messiah? What carnal eyes had not seen, men must awaken yet to see, my brothers and sisters. Because the divisions among us are a mockery, even a misrepresentative vanity. What men, by and large, of the truth have not acknowledged is just simply wiser than men. If any man consider himself wise of what this world esteems to be wisdom, not consider it of all things the Most High has said, then realize what he's trusted has not been wisdom at all. So I say, let us humbly realize, if we seek to call ourselves wise after what is common to men, let us discern ourselves in so many ways that haven't been deceived, that we may see and yet perceive, that we might become wise, lest we allow pride to keep us blind, even when sight, light, and the seer is revealed. I can only tell you the Most High told me directly. He said to me, your words are precious. He said, the words he's given me are precious, rare, but only for the most humble soul. They who presume after what they are exalted by men, those who presume after what they heard from men, choosing to exalt it, believing that what they see is all there is, that there is no more, that they realize their lack of knowledge. These are the worldly, my brothers and sisters, who having an opportunity to see will not see, and who have an opportunity to hear will not hear, lest they be healed, and having to recognize the grievous wound that has afflicted the human conscience. Their eyes refusing to discern beyond status quo will only see what blinds them all the more. Messiah said, hearken to me and hear my speech. Hearken to me and hear my speech, lest your bonds be made tighter. Another scripture said, because men will not see what the Most High promised to Israel. Read Isaiah 29. They did not discern the words of the book. Scriptures are not of any private man's interpretation. The men should make of it whatever they will. Scripture says Messiah will come, declaring his word, declaring even what the sovereign righteousness of Yah, according to all the Most High, spoken by the mouth of his holy prophet since world began. It's a cumulative word. And only when men are willing to see all these things, my brothers and sisters, is he even counted worthy to be called by the holy name. And until he's willing to see all these things true to all the Most High declared, my brothers and sisters, man is still in bondage to the misconceits and contrivances of another. My brothers and sisters, not by the grace of Yah that men have trusted in what has been the conversation of worldly men and the multitude of their differences. It's not by the grace of Yah, my brothers and sisters, that men have not sought all that is good and perfect works of Yah. I'm talking about the book of Ephesians. It's not by the grace of Yah, my brothers and sisters, that men have rejected the pure, perfect word of him as to be the one peace. It's not after the grace of Yah, my brothers and sisters, men have rejected what makes Israel a commonwealth of the nation and an eternal people, after an eternal expectation. It's not by the grace of Yahweh, brothers and sisters, men have rejected and have even forgotten the covenants of promise. I declare the one way, my brothers and sisters, by which this world shall again be covenanted. It's not by the grace of Yahweh, my brothers and sisters, that men have rejected fellowship after the conscience the Most High gave his people Israel, that they be delivered from amidst the confusion and alien ideals of the nation. It's not after the grace of Yahweh, brothers and sisters, men have not sought to comprehend with all the saints what is the height, depth, and breadth of righteous understanding. It's not after the grace of Yahweh that men have been subject to many lords. Isaiah 26 says that the people who are redeemed will finally say, other lords have once had dominion over us, but now by thee and thee only we make mention or make a vow unto thy name. Men have sworn them by the name of the Most High after the constraints of other. And brothers and sisters, with that was the Most High never pleased. Now, if the grace of Yahweh, brothers and sisters, men have had other concepts of faith unto a multitude of differences. Faith must be unto peace. There's only going to be, think about it, faith is in the belief that the world will be judged by an absolute. And that by an absolute shall this world have a king. And by an absolute, my brothers and sisters, shall the world know peace. And by an absolute, my brothers and sisters, shall men function after one common understanding. For the promise of a heavenly home, my brothers and sisters, is a world restituted after the will of the one Yah. By faith, my brothers and sisters, have men who understood, believed that the Most High will send one who will conquer all the anomalies that have divided mankind. That all men, my brothers and sisters, might look one day and see what the scriptures have said brought to bear. That the remnant of Israel will speak no lies, do no iniquity, have none to harm them. In fact, Israel, a people redeemed after the conscience of one. And men must understand who it is the scripture said will bring it to bear. The scripture says, after that one conscience, my brothers and sisters, shall men know what is that one salvation even to the ends of the earth. That takes faith. But Abraham, my brothers and sisters, believed that the Most High could bring it to bear, that the world might be redeemed from its multitude of curses and divisions unto a oneness. We have to understand, my brothers and sisters, what has been the hope. Because it's not been after the grace of Yah that men have not sought the full measure and stature of righteousness declared in the Messiah. It's not been by the grace of Yah, my brothers and sisters, men have remained alienated in their minds like a multitude of Gentiles. It's time we understand the real. It's time we understand the reality. Why the scripture says in Psalms, Most High looked and saw none righteous, no not one, no righteous one. He said, who out of Zion? Who is that righteousness he should raise up out of Zion? And to restore our righteousness, that Israel be glad. Because for a long time, men have not even known how much they need to seek Yah. And therefore, there's been much misrepresentation, much dissimulation, much hypocrisy in the land. He says, when this one appears, Israel shall be blessed. Israel shall be glad. As you say in that day, and when the covering of false righteousness that is covered and blinded all the nations is no more. The scripture says in that day, they shall say, if you will, this is the righteous one for whom we have waited. Rejoice and be glad in the salvation. If you saw an unrighteous, no, not one, he will send them a righteous one that Israel might be restored. Blessed are they, my brothers and sisters, who realize the need to be restored to righteousness, restored to a true conscience of all the Most High has intended, that the world, my brothers and sisters, might have the opportunity for redemption. We talked earlier about the idea about how Messiah said, I'm the one called the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star. How many understand who Messiah said that he is? How many have desired to understand? Do you think your rulers really want you to know? Have they testified what the scriptures said concerning him who was called the promised root and offspring of David, the bright morning star? Have they told you? Scripture says that one will reprove all the rulers, all the kings, all the pastors, priests, rabbis, the elders, whatever they call them, as all having declared standards that are before the Most High counted as vanity. Scriptures tell us, my brothers and sisters, if we attain to that wisdom, Hebrews 10:26-31, if any man sin willfully after receiving the knowledge of this truth, the truth that the whole world is sought to deny, I even tell you, my brothers and sisters, the truth of the one called the Kurdi, I did not say Christ. Christ is a Greco-Roman polytheist term. It's not true to what they would have called him in the East. Christianity is a Greco-Roman term. Look it up. Check out my website, hiddengospel.com, early church origin. They called themselves Kurdishania, those who waited for him who like the sudden rising of the light of the sun in the morning. Cast out all the darkness. Scripture calls him the King of the East. Please, my brothers and sisters, compare Isaiah 44:20 through 45:6 through 46:13, Isaiah 19, Revelation 16, Isaiah 26:1 through 3, and see how it's all the prophecy of what Messiah said he must do in the last days and who he said he is. I can only tell you the scripture says if any man receive this truth willingly turns back, the soul of Yah shall have no delight in him, for such a one still remains a child of darkness. I said Messiah was slain, my brothers and sisters, that men might open their eyes, and many saints gave their lives, that men might see these things. Dare any man say they shall have partakers with them? Who have overcome the mark of the beast, still hearkening to the unreasoning propaganda of those who keep men's minds far from communion with Yah. It's time we think about the reality. There's a lot more I want to talk to you about tonight with regard to this, my brothers and sisters. But I can only tell you, since I have a few minutes left, I want you to consider these simple points. Messiah said he'd be hated, and those, my brothers and sisters, who would follow him be hated by all nations for the sake of his name, his title, his authority, even his authority to reprove all the nations. What do you think the trial was about when they asked him, are you a king? Who was the king, my brothers and sisters, that ancient Israel was expecting? That Yohanan called him the one called sunrise, the day spring from on high. Kepha, the apostle, called him the morning star. Zechariah 6:12 and 3:8 called him branch and called him sunrise, the same word. Who was that one that the king that they spoke of, that they were say, are you a king? How about are you the Kurdi? And scripture says that those priests who were appointed by Rome, saying they had no king but Caesar, said if anyone makes himself a king, and the king that they were looking for was definitely the Kurdi, one called the King of the East, who would approve all the kings of the earth and certainly all Western Roman polytheist power. He said, whoever did this was against Caesar. Messiah asked his apostles, who do you say that I am? And they would not have just simply said the Christ. In fact, like I said, that's a polytheist word. He said, you are the Kurdi, the son of the living Yah. In this movie, they say, again, as a caption, this movie called Son of God, said his empire, his kingdom. I see immediate contention, my brothers and sisters, who will awaken to the knowledge of the truth. Remember, the scripture says, whoever awakens to this knowledge receives this knowledge of the truth.
His soul, if he turns back, Yah shall have no delight in him. Scripture calls him the comforter, the author and perfecter of the faith. Word for comforter, one who brings peace. Comfort you, my people. Prepare for the coming of the king. Oh, let me just say something, interject something real quick. Muhammad was not the comforter of Israel. So we need to bust that one real quick. Scripture says the comforter testifies of Yeshua. That means Yeshua having the premises. Even concerning the truth that must go forth to rule the world from Zion. I can only tell you that many have refused to really speak about this knowledge because they're like those who were before. They're afraid of those in places of power. Remember the Most High said Abraham too was alone when Yah called him. He said, if you have no light, you still must trust in him whom Yah has proclaimed that you be saved by his Most High.
60 seconds.
I find it a little surprised, my brothers and sisters, when the first thing the Most High told me was a vision concerning Abraham and one called the Kurdi. Both of these by faith, my brothers and sisters, knew to seek the perfect will of Yah beyond all the nations. So should we do the same. We'll never forget these things, my brothers and sisters, for forgetfulness of these things is defiance against the holy name. He calls himself the great I am that I am, Rishon Acharon, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. We are called, my brothers and sisters, to remember these things. Messiah was slain because the nations of the West always despised the hope of the one called Shiloh, who would restore the knowledge of Israel as an identity. Shall men trust the Savior who denies the Savior and expect to be delivered? Much more to speak about this, my brothers and sisters, till we speak again. This has been Adam Yah of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. To his might, honor, his praise always. Hallelujah! Wow, something I just thought about real quick, just to go ahead and say. I know a lot of this might not catch on just yet. But I think about something like that show called, the folktale called Lion King. Mustafa told one who would be called later the Lion King. That in forgetting his father, he had forgotten who he is. My brothers and sisters, if we will be kings, restore a world, shall we say that forgetfulness is something we all love? Like I said, my brothers and sisters, forgetting those things which make us a people and an eternal people is against, in fact, is direct defiance against the holy name. One who does not remember cannot help his people to reclaim anything. And his people are led astray by every manner of affliction. This is not a strange parody. That the one who sought the throne of the king was called Scar, an affliction. How about one who has no power to heal, none to save? Unjustly desiring to be king, having no concern for the welfare of his people. And if he king, and if he could, he would kill the king rather than help the king save his people, his children, his son. In this forgetfulness, my brothers and sisters, there's no hope for salvation. We must remember. We must remember. We must remember. For it's only those who remember, my brothers and sisters, whose very purpose is to bring humanity to remembrance. We have a chance to become a strong people, to claim, my brothers and sisters, in the earth, the prize that is intended for a faithful people. Without this remembrance, my brothers and sisters, men choosing to prefer unrighteousness less than all the prophets have said, refusing to understand who Messiah said that he is. In this forgetfulness, this lawless unrighteousness, there's no hope for justice. There's only one law that is lawful. And that would give full honor to him who is creator. So much more to speak of, my brothers and sisters. But till we speak again, this has been Adam Yah of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. To his might, to his honor, and to his praise always. Hallelujah! Till we speak again, by the way, please, check out Revelation 6 chapter and understand what was the testimony that the saints maintained, that Rome sought to destroy them, that it be silenced. It was a faith in that one called the White Horse Rider, whose faith was the gospel that was conferred to all nations. They understood what this Kurdish Shania, my brothers and sisters. I did not say this Greco-Roman falsehood they call Christianity that supports and preserves all the various contentious kingships of this earth. Who will understand the implications of these things? Blessed is that soul, my brothers and sisters, that discerning these things, seeks the power of Yah. Strength and courage. The preservation, preserving power of Yah. That they hold to the truth and not turn back. You've got